views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they made it with a bat. Fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died, good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city. And they just turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is January 14, 2016. It is a Thursday afternoon. Hope that my voice finds you safe and sound as much as that's possible behind enemy lines. But I hope that my voice finds you safe and sound behind these enemy lines. There's a lot to be wary of, and today we do have a guest scheduled for you today. I actually have covered this topic over the past, I would say, maybe the past 10, over the past 10 days. I have been talking about Hillary Clinton's emails, although it seems like not many people want to talk about Hillary Clinton's emails that was on her private server, storing classified emails and whatnot. Revealing the secrets of the U.S. government and racism and imperialism and capitalism crimes that they have been perpetuating across the entire planet. But, oh, nobody wants to talk about that because the mainstream media said we're tired of hearing about Hillary Clinton's emails. Well, I expect Fox News to cover it. That's actually one of the few outlets that I have seen covering these latest batch of about 3,000 or so emails that were recently released in December, at the end of December, right before New Year's. And you know, I expect Fox News to go after Hillary Clinton on these emails. But then in a way, you know, I don't know. I guess they can't deny it since other media platforms are reporting on it, like Russia Today. Even though Russia Today does have a Washington, D.C. based offices, it's really run by the Russian government. And of course, they're going to show the United States in the poorest light possible. Not saying that they're making up stuff, but they will report the evil doings of the U.S. government all across the planet because it suits their purposes. OK, but again, if you're reporting factual information, if the truth is the truth, it doesn't matter who's telling the truth, just as long as the truth get told. All right. And so I expect I forget the name of the one that's run by the Iranian government, but I expect people, their platform to start producing stories on these Hillary Clinton emails and how it shows that the real motive for overthrowing Libya and assassinating Muammar Gaddafi via these Islamic proxies that's running rampant all over Libya right now, the real reason was to keep Africa from becoming a world power through a united gold-backed currency. Also, of course, to get at Libya's oil resources. So, I mean, what's the difference? What's the difference? Same reason why Bush invaded Iraq. didn't have nothing to do with Iraq. The real reason it didn't have anything to do with 9/11. And the real reason that they went into Afghanistan, I suspect, doesn't have anything to do with 9/11 either, but to make sure that they could restore poppy production so that they can flood the global market with cheap heroin, which we're seeing that manifest here in the United States, because, you know, the Taliban had totally eliminated and outlawed poppy fields and growing poppy to create heroin. But only when NATO went in there and took over huge areas of the country, all of a sudden, you know, now heroin is just so cheap now and so plentiful. And I mean, the truth is right there in front of your face. I don't know why people choose to ignore it unless, you know, it just hurts their brains, because that programming that they're getting from corporate state-sponsored media, the miseducation that they're getting in the school system, I mean, when some truth try to enter into that brain, man, that programming automatically goes into hyperdrive trying to keep that truth from being fully realized in the brain of the person hearing the truth. But we're scheduled to speak with Mr. T. West of Afro Synergy News. He's been a guest on the program in the past. It's been a while since he's been on. I think the last time he was on was possibly back in 2011, because Afro Synergy News was at the forefront of reporting the real news that was coming out of Libya in relation to the overthrow, the NATO overthrow, largely led by the French in the United States. But they provided a lot of valuable reporting that you can still find on their YouTube channel, Afro Synergy on YouTube. So I invited Mr. West to come on to, discuss this again, to discuss the latest batch of emails again that have been found on Hillary Clinton's private server that she maintained as the Secretary of State for the Obama administration, which confirmed the true motives that Mr. T. West was putting out there. I think Black Agenda Report was putting it out there. And, you know, now they have been vindicated, or they have been proven to be right. When you was getting all them lies from CNN, from MSNBC and ABC and CBS, all the alphabet boys, you know, the corporate state news networks were lying to you to justify, you know, the overthrow of one of the most developed Pan-African nations in Africa. So now we got the smoking gun, we got the emails, and it's just now starting to leak out into the story in relation to the emails related to the overthrow of Libya are just now starting to enter, quote unquote, the mainstream via Russia Today. I can't think of the Iranian news service, but I'm sure they will be reporting on it as well. And then, of course, you have your alternative media, your citizen journalist type media, you know, because Foreign Policy Journal, they did some good reporting on it. There's been some other non-traditional news outlets that have been reporting on it, but this story has largely been missing from the mainstream. But we should be joined by Mr. West here at any moment. But I do want to play this clip from Fox News concerning Hillary Clinton. And this woman could be arrested in 60 days, not for the crime that she participated in, the conspiracy to overthrow Libya and thus, you know, thwart the economic prosperity of Africa. But she is maybe charged for not storing those state secrets that, you know, reveal their crimes. She didn't store those properly. Now it's getting out there that, you know, the United States, the Obama administration, is just as criminal of every previous administration. That's because you got a black person in charge, or with his name on the door, or wearing a title or something. White supremacy don't stop. White, because of proxy racism, and they use proxies all the time. And that is one of the aspects of white supremacy that I think a lot of people just simply cannot grasp, for whatever reasons, that these people need non-white people to help carry out their dirty deeds. And you know, if it was not for the participation of non-white people, primarily black people, in the criminality of these white supremacists and whatnot, then more people wouldn't be so confused about racism as they already are. And so I do want to play this clip as we await Mr. T. West to give us a call so that we can talk about Hillary Clinton's emails. But this is a report from Fox News where you had a former U.S. attorney and a prosecutor say that he expects Hillary Clinton to be charged within 60 days because of these improper storage of these emails.
That new report Ed mentioned, one former U.S. attorney says Hillary Clinton could see federal charges from the FBI within 60 days over the investigation into the content of her private correspondence. Well, that attorney is Joe DeGenova. I almost got it right. DeGenova, former U.S. attorney and federal prosecutor. Better than the last time, Joe. Good to see you in person.
Nice to be here.
All right. So, what do you know about a potential indictment?
What I know is that the FBI has been building a compelling case, an unassailable case against Hillary and her surrounding group inside the State Department. They have gathered, they've seized servers at the State Department, they've gathered information, they've interviewed people. They are at a critical stage now in the investigation where they're thinking of offering immunity to people, including the Brian Pagliano and others who were involved in setting up the unencrypted legal server.
Okay.
And so at this point, they're going to make a recommendation through the FBI director to the Justice Department that there be charges against a series of people.
So you believe that there will be criminal charges, and you think it's going to happen within 60 days. Why?
60 to 90, because that is the natural evolution of where they are in this investigation. We know when they started. We know when they seized servers. We know what they're doing. Generally, this is the point. This is the point where they should be making recommendations for immunity to the Justice Department. Remember, they can't bring the charges to the FBI. They're going to recommend to Attorney General Loretta Lynch that charges be brought against several people.
Okay, let's say that that happens, and then the Justice Department decides not to follow through. You say there will be a revolt.
I think that there will be an eruption inside the intelligence community and inside the FBI, a revolt against the refusal to proceed, because the evidence in this case of violations of classified information laws is staggering. There is no question that a series of federal criminal statutes involving classified information were violated by the secretary and her staff. The question is, which ones are going to be enforced and which ones aren't? Remember, they prosecute people for leaving a single piece of classified information on a table overnight.
Right. Okay, so for the people watching who are suspect of the way in which some of the federal government operates, do you believe that FBI Director Comey is being puppeteered at all by the Obama administration?
Absolutely. Comey's integrity is unassailable. He will never stand for sweeping this under the rug. I can't imagine that if he recommends a prosecution that the attorney general would resist. I don't think he's such a man. He believes in this stuff. I think he might even contemplate resigning.
Very interesting. You heard it from Joe DeGenova. All right. Extra credit for me later on, right? I finally got it. Great to see you.
Great to see you.
Thanks.
All right, so we'll see. I sincerely doubt. I really, really doubt. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know. But I don't see Hillary Clinton doing any prison time over this. She might get a fine or something like that. But I just don't see the Obama administration, and yes, the Justice Department is still under the executive branch. Of course, it's under the executive branch, and therefore President Obama is the chief executive officer. And since he also is an accomplice to the illegal overthrow of Libya, you know, nobody will be held responsible for that. But, you know, Hillary Clinton's major crime was that she didn't store their state secrets properly. And so, therefore, now it's being revealed the crimes of the Obama administration, and for which she was the Secretary of State. So, I don't know. She could be charged. She may not be charged. I'm still waiting to find out. They said within 60 days, but I seem to think that the establishment, and I'm talking about the most powerful white supremacists, want Hillary Clinton in there. If they can't get her in there, they really don't want Donald Trump in there for whatever reasons. People think that that's who they want. No, Donald Trump ain't codified enough to be CEO of the USA. He's already bringing too much heat on the Republican Party for his open racism. And see, when you practicing racism, you're only supposed to play, you're only supposed to, you know, blow dog whistles, you know, to only certain people can pick up on it and whatnot. But he's got a bullhorn. He's got a bullhorn, and he's announcing to the world, you know, his racist codification. I don't even know if you can call it codification. But his racist thoughts and how he feels, you know, about Muslims, how he feels about Mexicans, you know, how he feels about black people. All right. So I think that they really do want Hillary Clinton in there. So, anything could happen over the next 60 days. You would think she would already be disqualified from even running for president with an open investigation into her. But they say, you know, innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. But again, the law is for the slave. The law ain't for the slave master. Slave codes wasn't written for the people that is running the system of slavery in this world. It was written for those that they want to enslaved. So your guess is as good as mine as to what happened with this investigation. Okay, let me check my email, because we should have heard by Mr. T. West by now, and we have not heard from him. I know he's on Pacific Standard Time, so I'm not sure if he has the time mixed up or what. Let me check and make sure my phone line is open. All right, so my studio line is open. That studio line is 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. The conference line is 641-715-3660. It is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032. Pound. That's 549-032-POUND. Hit *6 at any time. *6 and 1 anytime you like to chime in. But I can't wait on Mr. West to call. I'm gonna go ahead and just go forth with the information that I have. So again, in case you did not hear the news, because you know you watch CNN all the time, I'm not saying you shouldn't watch those networks. You can glean some intelligence information from them. But they're not going to tell you the whole story. But I haven't seen, other than Fox News, and then Fox News is only talking about the emails. They ain't talking about the emails related to the illegal overthrow of Libya, because, you know, conservatives and liberals partner together to keep African economic prosperity in check. Didn't want them to become independent. So they teamed up together on Libya. You know, they all voted to overthrow Libya. They gave the President Obama authorization, what do they call that, a military force authorization, where they passed this special unconstitutional legislation authorizing the commander-in-chief to take military action against a country, when the Constitution says you're supposed to, the Congress is supposed to issue a declaration of war. But again, who pays attention to the law? Who pays attention to the Constitution? You know, they don't have to abide by these things, because they the slave masters. They not the slave. We the slaves. You know, we are the slaves in the global system. And so, you know, that's for us. That ain't for them. They can violate our rights. They ain't got to recognize our rights. And they ain't got to adhere to the law, because, you know, who's going to put them in jail? Are you going to put them in jail? Are we going to round up these criminals and put them on trial? And, you know, like the Nuremberg trials, when they rounded up Nazis? No, that ain't likely to happen here in the United States. No way. No way. We're just going to say, oh, that's just the way things go. You know, and nothing we can do about it. Might as well move on and go watch, you know, whatever it is that we watch to entertain us. Let's watch football. Let's watch, you know, Empire. Let's watch Empire and distract us from all this criminality that we don't have the will to do anything about. And I'm talking about everybody. I ain't talking about no specific group of people. I'm talking about everybody. This persists because we allow it to persist. So anyway, these emails that were found on her server, I have linked to one of the emails, and these emails were classified, so that's what she might be arrested on. Now, they've declassified them now, but they were classified when they were on her server, when the FBI and everybody else is pulling these emails off of her private server. These are marked classified. So this woman has even lied and said, well, we didn't store any classified material, you know, on the server. Now we're up to at least confirmed over 120 classified emails on her server. But I want to thank Hillary Clinton for being incompetent. I want to thank her for being reckless. I want to thank her for being careless, because it then gives you a window. It gives you direct evidence on just how criminal the U.S. government is. And I'm talking about every last single one of them. I ain't talking about just Clinton. I ain't talking about just Obama. I ain't talking about just Susan Rice, you know, the UN ambassador who told them lies about, you know, these African mercenaries using Viagra to go on a raping spree across Libya. Y'all don't remember them lies that they was telling? So, I mean, I'm talking about all of these crooks and criminals. So, let me play this other clip that comes to you. Who did I pick up this clip from? This might be from Russia Today. Yeah, I think this is from Russia Today when I made this clip. So let's go ahead and give a listen. And I want y'all, you know, again, to be paying attention to mainstream media. You know, whether you got cable or not, they have their online operations. So you can, you know, just monitor them online to see if MSNBC, ABC, or even Fox, all right, if they're going to talk about the illegal overthrow of Libya to prevent Africa from becoming a world power. And when I say Africa, I'm talking about the African Union. You know, I'm not talking about Africa as one, you know, giant nation, because it's not. There are many nations in Africa. But I'm talking about the African Union, which is similar, you know, to the European Union, which is similar to, you know, the NATO countries, where you have, you know, different countries with common background, common interests and whatnot, and they band together, you know, to try to improve their situation in on the planet. And so, yeah, let's go ahead and roll this. This is from Russia Today, and who knows when you might see this on some other network, but let's go ahead and roll that.
Newly declassified emails belonging to Hillary Clinton reveal some new possible motives behind the intervention in Libya. The latest batch of correspondence released by the U.S. State Department containing information over the threat posed by Gaddafi's gold reserves. The documents say they could have been used to establish a pan-African currency able to compete with the dollar in the region. Libya's large oil reserves and protecting French influence in North Africa were also cited as reasons to intervene. However, back in 2011, Western leaders were hailing the overthrow of the Gaddafi regime as a victory for freedom and democracy.
Vive Benghazi! Vive la Libye! Vive l'amitié entre la France et la Libye! You showed the world you would get rid of a dictator and you would choose freedom.
The United States is committed to the Libyan people. You have won your revolution.
People of Libya have gotten rid of a dictator, and guess what? They got a chance now.
Transcripts of a phone conversation between Muammar Gaddafi and the former British Prime Minister Tony Blair in 2011 show the Libyan leader warning that extremists would start a war in the Mediterranean if he was deposed. RT's Alexey Reshevsky investigates.
In March 2011, speaking to France 24 TV, then leader of Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, said that his country played a major role as a refugee barrier between North Africa and Europe. There were millions of refugees, Gaddafi said, who were looking to cross into France and Italy, and that Libya's role in security for the whole of Western Europe was huge. Words which can now be described as a prophecy, considering the migrant crisis of the old world. Now it has been revealed that just a week prior to that interview, Gaddafi had sent a far more stern and even more prophetical message to his old friend, former British Prime Minister. As Libya was scorched by the flames of civil war, he told Blair that Al-Qaeda laid down sleeping cells in North Africa. The sleeping cells in Libya were similar to the dormant cells in America before 9/11. They, meaning jihadists, Gaddafi said, wanted to control the Mediterranean, and then they will attack Europe eventually. Certainly ISIS was not even born then. However, Gaddafi may have foreseen its rise with those statements. It's unclear how Blair reacted to them, but that conversation itself only happened because the two were known to have developed a friendship. Since leaving the office in 2007, Mr. Blair had visited the Libyan leader at least 7 times. In fact, these 2 phone calls were Blair's attempts to warn Gaddafi of what was about to happen. Blair said in that phone conversation, "If you have a safe place to go, you should go there, because this will not end peacefully." And 2 weeks later, on March 19th, Britain fired its first rockets on Libya. And we all know what happened later. Months of military operation resulting in the eventual overthrow of Gaddafi and his headline-stealing death, as well as the plunge of Libya from a country with strong social welfare system to the land still torn by civil war. Now the UK Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee is investigating Libya's demise, courtesy of its chairman, Crispin Blunt, who openly suggested that ignoring Gaddafi's warning back then has proved to be a mistake, the one which has already cost hundreds of innocent European lives. Alexei Roshevsky, RT, reporting from Washington, D.C.
Well, 5 years on, amid the continued violence and chaos in Libya, extremists are gaining more power and territory. This week, dozens lost their lives in ISIL-related attacks.
All right, so that was the report from RT again. You know, this report really just came out. It's only been out about 2 days, and I think, you know, possibly corporate state-sponsored media, that's your alphabet, you know, networks and whatnot, they may be forced to start covering this because, you know, it's starting to pick up some traction online. And as I had, you know, interviewed someone who had worked in corporate media before, they said usually, you know, we, the media producers, the independent media producers who are online-based, are usually sometimes even months ahead of corporate media. But again, at the same time, a lot of this stuff never makes the corporate media because they are part of the state of oppression. And you know, I have done studies on propaganda history in this country, where you've had advertisement executives, network executives say that it is their patriotic duty to lie to the people for the United States government to push its nationalistic interests. And so, I mean, they have admitted these things in the past, like going back to the 50s and whatnot. So, you know, who's to say whether or not you will hear about the overthrow of Libya was really based on derailing the African Union, or Libya, I should say, Muammar Gaddafi's plan to introduce a pan-African currency, uniting most of Africa under one currency that was backed by gold, which would immediately, it would immediately displace the American dollar, or we should really say the U.S. Federal Reserve notes, which the Federal Reserve is not a part of the federal government, regardless of what people think. That's why they practice deception in naming things. That's not part of the federal government. All right, that's a cartel of families, old families with old slavery money that own the Federal Reserve, and they loan money to the U.S. government to put out into circulation so that, you know, you can pay your payroll and all of that. And so, you know, it would immediately cause damage to that worthless piece of paper. That paper is only worth money because of America. I mean, worth has any kind of value ascribed to it because of the United States military power and willingness to go around the world and kill people and assassinate leaders and destroy nations that would compete with it on a global scale. It's not really no free market out there or anything like that. The markets are manipulated. The markets are controlled. They go to war. You know, speaking of Libya being a socialist government, you know, I had done some research years ago on Libya. And Libya, healthcare was free. Didn't have to pay for healthcare. If you got married, you know, they gave you some money to help you, you know, start your marriage off so you're not in debt. And because people here in the United States, just think of how much debt they go into just to have this great big old wedding and stuff like that. Well, Libya gave its citizens money for their weddings and things of that nature. The pay for your education was totally free. They would even pay for you to go get a Western education, all right, to come here to the West. The government would pay for that. There was rarely any homelessness, although I know that there were some from what I was reading, but not a lot of homelessness. There was a lot of prosperity. Africans would come from all over Africa to work, to get jobs. And this was pretty much, you know, I would say a socialist utopia. And so every time people try to determine how they want to be governed, whether they elect a communist government, whether they elect a socialist government, whether they elect a capitalist government, you know, but every time there is a socialist government that has been elected by people in elections, these are in fact democracies, all right, and they elect socialist leaders who have social policies like what we saw in Libya, like what we see in Cuba, it has always been the United States' goal to overthrow those countries. Why? You got to ask yourself why. Because they don't want to see, they don't want everyone's eyes to be open to the fact that capitalism is a failed economic system. That it is based on slavery and he who has the capital rules. It is a corrupt system. And, I mean, the facts is there. I was reading about Thomas Jefferson earlier today. You know, we were talking about, I was posting some information about Irish chattel slavery here on this continent and in the Caribbean. And because I take the long view. I'm trying to study slavery from, you know, going as far back as I can, especially as it pertains to this continent. And so the question was asked was, you know, about chattel slavery. You know, chattel slavery, my definition of chattel slavery is when you're mating people to produce more enslaved people. The same way you would mate cattle or any kind of livestock so that you can increase your holdings. Well, Thomas Jefferson talked about that. He talked about his capital, all right, capitalism, right? He talked about how he increased his capital by the fertility of his enslaved women, the women that he was enslaving. He did an audit of his estate, and he found that, you know, for every time an enslaved person was born on my plantation, my wealth increased by a certain percentage points. That's chattel slavery. That's also capitalism. That is what this system that we are in the United States was founded on. Slavery and capitalism go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. Wall Street, one of the oldest slave trading blocks on this continent. And in fact, they still engaged in a modern day slave trade. So every time we see a socialist country, you know, a country elects its leaders and they, you know, get labeled a socialist government by the United States, what happens? Next thing you know, the United States supporting death squads and whatnot to go in and kill up the people and then start a civil war and so that they can go overthrow that democratically elected socialist government. We've seen this all across South America. Reagan comes to mind, you know, in the Contras and the Sandinistas and, I mean, the embargo that they had on Cuba. Still, really, they haven't really fully lifted the embargo on Cuba. We see it throughout the United States history. So if capitalism is the model system, if it's so good, if it's the best in the world, then why does the United States need to go and overthrow these socialist countries? Shouldn't those socialist countries just fall in on themselves? Shouldn't they collapse because they're not sustainable? Huh? It shouldn't take any kind of outside intervention or influence or anything on the behalf of the United States government if these systems are deeply flawed like how they tell us they're deeply flawed. And so as we look at Libya, you know, we see one of the most prosperous nations in Africa. And its leader was a Pan-Africanist. Doesn't matter if he was, you know, melanated to a high degree. It doesn't matter that, you know, his skin wasn't black, that, you know, it has a blue hue to it. He's still an African. And he was a Pan-Africanist. And he was doing a lot for the people of Africa, regardless of their skin melanation degrees. And this is what the really gets me, though, is that a lot of black people, because of racism and white supremacy, whether it's through the education system, whether it's through the media programming, whatever the reason is, that, you know, we will not say anything about this. We will not hold Obama to this and ask him any questions. And why did you do this, man? Why did you allow them Arabs, them Islamic, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, whatever the heck you want to call them, why did you stand by and allow them to murder tens of thousands of people in Africa? Why did you do that, man? Why? Because he ain't the president of black people. He don't care nothing about Africa. He didn't take on that position so that he can overthrow racism and white supremacy. He took that position. He took that title. All right. Because he was down with the white supremacists. Because he going to get butter biscuits for the rest of his life. He going to get $200,000 a year if he never works a day in his life ever again. He sold out. And we have to be able to address these things. We cannot act like they didn't happen. We cannot act like we're little children and we're not responsible for our actions because we're retarded or something like that. But I will say our intellectual growth, our intellectual capacity has been retarded. It has, that growth has been stunted because of racism and white supremacy education. Like Malcolm said, you know, only a fool will allow his enemy to educate his children. Because we turn to, you know, we don't believe things unless we hear it come from certain people that are showcased in the mainstream media. This is not going to do it. It's just not going to cut it. This is not how we unravel the system of racism and white supremacy by ignoring the actions of the proxy races. It just don't work like that, man. It don't work like that. It's not practical. You cannot ignore the actions of anyone. And like Neely Fuller says, it ain't about taking sides. About black and white. When I see President Obama, I see red, white, and blue. I see the corporate colors of USA Inc. That's whose team he's on. He ain't on our team. He ain't no Pan-Africanist. He don't even support reparations. So I've known this for a very long time. And this is why I was not shocked that this occurred under his watch. This man's regime, let's call it a regime, because he ain't doing it by himself. He's getting a lot of help. But this man, I tell you, this administration may be more criminal than the Bush administration. Okay? Man, let me close this window. Somebody's trying to get at me. It's kind of distracting me. I don't know what happened to Mr. West. We had confirmation from him. But again, I linked to his channel and his Facebook page. You could just do, if you do a Google search on YouTube and you type in Libya or Gaddafi, and what, man, most of those articles that you're going to see are have been produced by Mr. West. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and play one of those, because, you know, he does deserve recognition for being one of the few outlets that had called this from the start. While it was happening, he was trying to tell black people that, no, look, Gaddafi wasn't about to kill a whole bunch of people. Those are all lies, man. They going in there because they don't want to see Africa prosperous. They don't want to see the continent of Africa move into its true global position, which should be on top, because that's where all, man, you find all the natural resources that these wars are fought over in Africa. Gold, silver, oil, all of that. There are certain metals that are only found in Africa that they can't even make cell phones and computers without. Gaddafi was about the liberation, the true independence of Africa. And he and Mr. West and others was trying to tell people about that. But I don't know. We didn't pay attention, I guess. I don't know. Let me go ahead and pull up some of these videos. I'm going to just do what I said. I recommend that you do. Go ahead and pull up Libya and type in Afrosynergy. That's his YouTube channel. Man, you will find a whole bunch of very informative videos on what was going on. Now, this is, let me see. I want to take it back to some of the stuff he was putting out in 2011. Okay, here it is. Breaking news, October the 12th, 2011, from the Afrosynergy channel.
Hello, this is T. West, and welcome to Afrosynergy. Breaking news, October 12th, 2011, Libya. I will first begin with a very good piece by Glenn Ford of the Black Agenda Report entitled Black Libyans Make Their Stand in Search and Bani Walid. I will then cover the most recent events of Libya.
Both NATO and their Libyan rebel surrogates express wonder at the fact that loyalist forces continue to fight so fiercely in the contested cities of Sirte and Bani Walid, despite being vastly outnumbered on the ground and unceasingly pummeled from above by the world's largest air armada. But one look at a picture of Gaddafi loyalist prisoners captured at a hospital in Sirte tells the story. They are all black. The assault on Libya has largely devolved into a race war, and the black soldiers are fighting for survival against the world's biggest lynch mob, armed to the teeth by the United States and Europe. Where are the people of Tawerga, the mostly black Libyan city that was wiped from the face of the earth by rebels? Many of those who were not killed or captured have clearly made their way to Sirte and Bani Walid to make a last stand against the racist killers that Westerners like Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Call revolutionaries. The rebels are brazen, absolutely without shame, in their determination to cleanse Libya of its black population. They are like Arab knights of the Ku Klux Klan, backed by a European and American Air Force, a racist militia whose fighters have vowed to purge black skin and to scrawl the Arabic equivalent of nigger on the homes of their vanquished black countrymen. Their rationalizations for ethnic cleansing and summary executions of black prisoners are quite familiar to the American ear, identical to our own practitioners of white terror. The Terwilligans raped women, the rebels claim, even as international observers report that it is the rebels and the riffraff that surrounds them who have systematically raped captured black girls and women. The Terwilligans, say the rebels, tried to slaughter all the Misratins, and this is something they have to answer for. Of course, the town of Tawurga, with only 30,000 mostly black Libyan citizens, could not possibly have terrorized Misrata, the third biggest city in the country, 25 miles away. But racists always claim to be the victims of crimes in which they themselves specialize. So the Tawurgans, standing in for all blacks, are labeled rapists to justify the racist rampages of the Misrata Brigade. According to a report by none other than the Voice of America, one-third of all prisoners of the rebels are black, and they appear to be the lucky ones. The captured Terwilligan men are nowhere to be found, an indication that the rebels don't give them a chance to surrender or keep them long after they do. Wounded blacks that have made their way to hospitals are snatched from their beds to an unknown fate. NATO says it will keep bombing until the last resistance to their Libyan rebel surrogates is crushed. That appears to mean until the last free black men in Libya are captured or killed, their families caged at the mercy of racist brutes and sexual marauders. Black civilians are clearly not the kind of people that the European Americans had in mind when they claimed to be on a mission to protect civilians. No wonder, then, that the defenders of Sirte and Bani Walid fight like lions against all odds. They are heroes, but they also have no choice. The racist death squads will have no mercy. Black skin will be purged, black women raped and then killed. The first black president of the United States has unleashed a hell on black Libya. No decent person can ever forgive him. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford. On the web, go to blackagendareport.com.
In past programs, I have alluded to Iran being a two-faced entity. One side of Iran helps the United States as it fights in Iraq, Afghanistan, and now Libya, while the other side speaks in glowing terms of supporting the Palestinian people against the evil and Nazi-like ideology of Zionism of the Israeli government and its allies. Historically, in 723 BC, Iran, as a part of the Assyrian Empire, was the first to establish the blueprint of remaking the, quote, Jew, close quote, into its own image. This occurred when the Assyrian Empire conquered and removed the people of the Northern Kingdom of Israel, enslaving many of them in Assyria. It then replaced these people with the people of Sephar, known as the Sepharvaim and Sepharvites. Today, many of these people are called Sephardim, maintaining the root identification, the word Sephar. In standard academia sources, it is said that the Sephardim they originated from Spain. However, those sources do not expound upon where these people came from before the connection with Spain, a European country. The European nations and their branch, the United States, through the bankers inspired and funded World War II, copied this Assyrian blueprint and remade the, quote, Jew, close quote, in their image and established those who desecrate in what many refer to as the, quote, Holy Land, close quote, while removing many and attempting to remove all of the Palestinians from the land. The Palestinians, a people American FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover once referred to as the,
quote, cousins, close quote, of the so-called Negroes, while indicating the so-called Negroes must never connect those dots. Even today, there remain some of the original black Palestinians in the land. It is a certainty that Europeans or white people in general know more about who the so-called Negro is than most of the so-called Negroes. CERT continues to be mostly under the control of the Libyan military and Libyan warriors, which includes Libyan volunteers. As you have been shown in the past, the NATO National Transitional Council has provided you with their images of a small area in CERT where they were able to penetrate, pull down the Libyan flag, stomp and drive upon that flag, while some of the others shot into the air and others kneeled in prayer unto Almighty NATO. The NATO rebels are pained to show their masters of Europe and of America that they are making gains in Libya, even if it means the telling of blatant lies or gross exaggerations. This show has included National Transitional Council member Mustafa Abdul Jalil supposedly speaking on camera in CERT. The latest claim by the NATO National Transitional Council is that they have Muqtasim Gaddafi, one of the sons of Muammar Gaddafi, in custody, and that they had apprehended him as he was fleeing CERT with his family, and that they have taken him to Benghazi. Now, even with the help of the largest killing forces from the air, the NATO rebels continue to be slaughtered and buried as you see them buried here.
All right, I'm going to stop it there because we know now that Libya was not able to defend itself, that the country is now overrun by Islamic jihadists who the United States claims that it's fighting. That's what you hear from mainstream media. You even heard it in the president's last State of the Union address, or we must do something about ISIS. But the information is out there that, you know, they playing from the same playbook. This is not something they haven't done in the past where they have supported, quote unquote, terrorist organizations to advance their geopolitical aims. And what's so sad about this is that, you know, President Obama was directly sent a letter by Muammar Gaddafi, who was still under the illusion that President Obama or Barack Obama had some kind of allegiance to black people when he don't. Just cause his father was born in Africa, all right, in Kenyan, and he has, you know, Kenyan ancestry, that don't mean that he has any kind of allegiance to the homeland. He don't. This is the letter that Gaddafi sent to President Obama. Our son, Excellency President Obama, we have been hurt more morally than physically because of what had happened against us in both deeds and words by you. Despite all this, you will always remain our son, whatever happened. We still pray that you continue to be president of the USA. We endeavor and hope that you will gain victory in the new election campaign. You are a man who has enough courage to annul a wrong and mistaken action. I am sure that you are able to shoulder the responsibility for that. Enough evidence is available, bearing in mind that you are the president of the strongest power in the world nowadays, and since NATO is waging an unjust war against a small people of a developing country, this country had already been subjected to embargoes and sanctions. Furthermore, it also suffered a direct military armed aggression during Reagan's time. This country is Libya. Hence, to serving world peace, friendship between our people, and for the sake of economic and security cooperation against terror, you are in a position to keep NATO off the Libyan affair for good. As you know too well, democracy and building of civil society cannot be achieved by means of missiles and aircrafts or by backing armed members of Al-Qaeda in Benghazi. You yourself said on many occasions, one of them in the UN General Assembly, I was witness to that personally, that America is not responsible for the security of other peoples, that America helps only. This is the right logic. Our dear son, Excellency Barack Hussein Abu Obama, your intervention in the name of the USA is a must so that NATO would withdraw finally from the Libyan affair. Libya should be left to Libyans within the African Union frame. The problem now stands as follows. One, there is NATO intervention politically as well as militarily. Two, terror conducted by Al-Qaeda gangs that have been armed in some cities and by force refuse to allow people to go back to their normal life and carry on with exercising their social people's power as usual. Signed, Muammar Gaddafi, leader of the revolution, dated May 4th, 2011. So this man was still being respectful. He was still viewing President Obama as a son of Africa. And we see what President Obama's response was. His pleas fell on deaf ears. This is why I say there is no unifying based along color lines. You can't just think that you can just partner with black people just because they black or they African descendant. The world is much more complicated than that. And the white supremacists, the greatest thing they ever did was nominate President Obama to become president, the Democratic Party. That's the, you know, that was a master stroke. And then his election, because now more and more black people and non-white people are confused about the system of racism. This just breaks my heart, man. This breaks my heart. I feel this man's pleas to President Obama. The Obama administration is more responsible than any other nation for the overthrow of Libya, for the murder of all those black people. Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, another showcase black person, proxy racist. Many others were all over the news telling lies, saying that Gaddafi had brought in African mercenaries. No, he didn't. Those were immigrants who had been there to work, because he was giving them jobs. Those were, and then saying that, oh, they were taking Viagra and going around raping everybody. But the pictures coming out of Libya, the videos on YouTube show an entirely different story. It shows it was the Arabs. And I'm not talking about all the Arabs, because it was some in there that stayed loyal to the Libyan government and whatnot. But it was mostly those Arabs, Islamic Arabs, terrorists that went on a ethnic cleansing spree. That's what President Obama said, that we need to go in there and intervene to prevent a humanitarian disaster. Lying, saying that Gaddafi was about to slaughter all those terrorists in Benghazi. It was nothing but a lie. And then they aided these terrorists to overthrow the country. Same thing they're doing in Syria right now. Same thing. Same thing with Afghanistan. I mean, who gave rise to the Taliban? Taliban didn't start out as the Taliban. Taliban started out as proxies of the United States government to oppose Russia's moves into that area, into that region, because of oil pipelines and whatnot. Masterstroke. These white supremacists know exactly what they're doing. Know exactly what they're doing, spreading all this confusion throughout the world about racism and white supremacy by using these black proxies like President Obama. And we will defend him for that. We will defend him on everything. We'll be like, oh, that's anti-blackness. Or they just haters. They just hating on him because he black. No doubt that a lot of these redneck, lowbrow, knuckle-dragging racists don't like him because he black. But it ain't because he's doing anything to dismantle the system of racism. They just hating because they haters. But then when you attack other black people who are looking at these geopolitical things that's going on and his role in it, and you just call them haters, that just makes you look foolish. It makes you look intellectually inferior, which is by design. It is by design. I have to admit that the system of racism and white supremacy has largely retarded the intellectual capacity of most black people in this country. That's why you had Bernice King standing on the steps of a White House, a Washington, D.C. monument, talking about let freedom ring in Libya, backing up Obama's decision to aid these terrorists. And then while she on the steps of Libya talking about on the steps of this monument in Washington, D.C., talking about let freedom ring in Libya, black people were being slaughtered by the tens of thousands. They still being murdered if they ain't wiped them all out by now. What the hell, man? We cannot continue to allow ourselves to be ignorant when it comes to racism, the system, and how it works, and ignore the role of the proxy racist. The proxy racist plays a crucial role. Without the proxy racist, non-white tool of white supremacy wouldn't be able to function as it does. It wouldn't be as efficient. I'm not going to say that without our help, it would be eliminated, but it darn sure would not be able to do everything that it's doing to non-white people all over the planet if not for us helping them. And yeah, I understand the pressure. They'll assassinate you like they did Gaddafi or whatnot. But hell, you know, well then let's stop playing games then. Let's just all sell out. Let's all call ourselves Americans. Let's stop identifying with the motherland. Let's stop talking about we're black. Let's just go ahead and be like everybody else and sell the hell out and get some butter biscuits. This is just, man, it's just so sad on so many levels. You know, I heard people the other day talking about, you know, President Obama talking about this the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Can't we come together on that? Can't we Republicans and Democrats come together and just agree that we got the most superior nation? These are black people talking like that. Come on now. Really? 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 What makes this nation so great? Other than being a great evil on the planet. We got slavery being practiced against us here in the United States daily. Daily they're catching new slaves for the prison plantations. And we want to argue among each other how many jobs did the Obama administration create in the last 7 years. We want to argue about that, really. How many of those manufacturing jobs are in prison? See, they ain't counting those. They ain't counting all those manufacturing jobs that they got all over the United States, run by the federal government, run by the prison bureau system, run by Unicor. Man, we are just so far behind the eight ball, man. We're losing, and we're losing badly. And I don't know, man. I don't know what we can do to overcome this. I know it's going to take education. It's going to take a mass deprogramming of black people. But right now, we don't have the means to reach millions and millions of black people. I mean, last December, we only was able to reach through Black Talk Radio Network station 120,000 people. That ain't going to get it done. We got to do better, man. We got to expand our reach. We got to ramp up our deprogramming activities. Because we got a whole lot of people out there that's just really, they confused, man. They confused. And they will have this murderer lead a black nation. Yeah, I'm talking about Minister Farrakhan when he said that at the Justice or Else rally. We want a black nation within a nation, and we want President Obama to lead it. Now, I know why the minister said that. They done murdered his friend, Gaddafi, and he don't want to be next. I understand that. But guess what? I just can't get down with that, man. We face death every day. We can be taken out just simply for being black. So we might as well tell the damn truth. We might as well expose the proxies among us. This is why people won't talk about these other nations and how they're slow in developing, and look at Africa. They got all that wealth and whatnot, and you know, they just let these white supremacists and through their banking system just keep Africa enslaved. You know, these corporations coming in there exploiting the resources and whatnot. What is it? Is black people inferior? Are they really inferior? Is that why they can't take their true place on the planet? And I'm talking about Africa as a whole, all the nations as a whole, the African Union. What is it? Well, this is it. This is it right there. The only thing that the United States is superior in is firepower. And they have no shortage of people who are willing to take a paycheck to go overseas and just murder people for no good reason. One might say that we are getting exactly what we deserve because we sow these seeds. And it's not all of us, but there's far too many of us who are participating in the racist system, either as soldiers, either as politicians, because the black political caucus, they authorized the commander-in-chief to go in there and overthrow Libya. And then they didn't say nothing while all these black people were being murdered by these Arabs. They didn't say nothing. Nothing. Do you know the power that Africa would wield if they united under one currency backed by all of their natural resources? Nobody could compete with them in the global economy, because they would have a real currency that's backed by precious metals. They wouldn't have this monopoly money, promissory notes, Federal Reserve notes. This right here might have been one of the most recent, most strategic blows against Africa in recent memory. I can't think of anything else. France was also one of the countries that was involved in it. And, you know, I don't know everything. I'm learning new stuff every day. And I didn't know that you still had a whole bunch of African countries who are in a similar position as to what Haiti was in with France. Former colonies of France being forced to pay for their own enslavement, to pay for their own colonization, forced to use the French currency in their African countries. And that this pan-African currency proposed by Gaddafi would have liberated them. They wouldn't have had to go to the global white supremacist banking system to get loans and stuff to develop their nations. They wouldn't be in the position that the American people are under with the Federal Reserve. They would have true liberation. And we ain't gonna say nothing about this. Where all the pan-Africanists out there? All you people who throw up, you know, your African symbols and stuff like that. Why aren't y'all yelling this from the rooftops? Man, I bet you Marcus Garvey is turning over in his grave right now. Disgusted with the behavior of African descendant people, and we ain't made no damn progress. Let's just be honest. And I'm not saying this from a place of hate. I'm saying this as a member of the African diaspora. I care. I love black people. But collectively, we gonna stay stuck where we stuck unless we change our behavior, unless we change our ways. When we stop trying to protect the traitors within our midst, who don't care nothing about us. President Obama can issue executive orders to help gay people in the military. He can pass legislation to give women equal pay. I'm talking about the Lilly Ledbetter Act. He can issue executive orders for this and executive orders for that. Well, where are the executive orders that's going to help black people? Huh? He models himself early when he was running. He liked to, you know, use the imagery of Abraham Lincoln, because most people under the false assumption that Lincoln freed some slaves in this country. He ain't do no such damn thing. He created the modern slave system. He gave birth to it, transformed it from the private plantation to the jails and prisons. And now we got private jails and prisons where they still practicing slavery. But if he want to, and I don't think that man's ignorant. He know Lincoln ain't freed no damn slaves. He know the deception practiced by Lincoln, and he's practicing that same deception. Because if he was so, you know, about freedom for black people in this country, where's his Emancipation Proclamation for all the enslaved Africans on federal prison plantations? Where are they? And this, you know, this really speaks to something else I wanted to talk about. And again, this is our unwillingness to stand on the side of justice. But it also speaks to our political immaturity. Malcolm X chastised us over 40 years ago about our political immaturity. He ain't do it because he hate black people. He was doing it to correct an incorrect behavior. We cannot keep treating each other like we're little children and we don't want to hurt each other's feelings by speaking the truth. We are not little children. We're not little monkey children from Africa. And it's time we stop treating each other like children and hold ourselves accountable as adults. And I'm not talking about our miseducated brothers and sisters in the ghettos of America, in these high impoverished areas, who are just trying to make it day to day, that's being preyed upon every day by these slave catchers that you call the police. I ain't talking about them. I don't expect them to have the political acumen. I don't expect them to have the political education to understand these complex things when we're talking about a geopolitical system. I'm not talking about them. I ain't talking about the people that Bill Cosby like to talk crap about. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the so-called black middle class, the so-called black educated folks, the black politicians, the black CEOs. That's who I'm talking about. Because I believe these people know. They know. I'm not the smartest person on the planet. But I do read a lot, and I can comprehend what I read. And it's evident to me that we are making no gains whatsoever. None as a people. None. It's getting worse for us. But we'll make excuses because of our political immaturity. We don't expect nothing from the people that we vote for, that we put in office. We give money to their campaigns to elect them, but we don't expect nothing from them. We just wanted some eye candy, that's all, because our self-esteem is low, and we want to be able to point to somebody and say, see, black people is just as smart. Black people is just as capable. Just as capable as what? Being evil? Just as capable as what? Being oppressive? And this is not something that some of our ancestors have not taught us about. That we will trade in a white oppressor for a black oppressor. This has to end. This has to stop. We have to redouble our efforts, triple our efforts, quadruple our efforts in educating our people and informing our people. We shouldn't be begging to stay on, you know, stay in these public school systems. And we look, man, how long they been underfunding these schools? How long they been closing these schools? What you got against black people starting charter schools? What you got against black people homeschooling? Because we are not being served. Our children are not being properly educated. They're being indoctrinated into the system. They're being indoctrinated to be Americans, whatever the hell that means. I'm tired of this. I'm tired. I don't want this world for my grandchildren. I don't want this world for my future great-grandchildren. I don't want this world as is to be passing on to them. We gotta make some changes, man. Some serious, drastic changes. Let me go ahead and go to the phone lines. I'm sorry for rambling on, but I'm just frustrated. Caller called in from the flash phone. Go ahead with your question or comment. Caller.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello.
Yes, I hear you. Thank
okay.
you.
Good afternoon. Hold on. I think there's something in the background. Okay. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I agree with what you're saying, and I think I just came, not recently, but just came to the realization myself with the president. You know, he is a black person, and I'm thinking this black man has a black wife and black children, and he looks into his black wife and black children every day, because she said he's home more now that he's the president, and, you know, like you said, he hasn't come up seem like anything to help us. And I was listening to News One today, this morning, and they were like, well, the black people have to make demands on him. Most people are moved by emotion sometimes. And if looking into his black children's faces and his black wife and his black mother-in-law and his black nieces and nephews from his black brother-in-law hasn't moved him to do anything for black people, I don't know what will.
Damn, that's a great point. That's a great observation.
I mean, most people are moved by that. You know, I might be moved to help older people because I have a mother, I have parents, and they're old. You know, I have more compassion for younger people because I'm teaching now, and I see that younger people are going through things, especially young black males, and, you know, listening to this radio station helps and everything. So I'm more compassionate. I hope I would be compassionate anyway to all students, but, you know, I'm a little bit more compassionate to black students. I had a black cousin that I love very much, and he was, you know,
right.
This just seems like common sense to me. If he's not moved by his family to do things to help black people, I mean, we need to give it up. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for those
Q&AQ is cleared.
For that observation, I mean, there ain't nothing I can add to that. That's nothing I can add to that. If he is not moved by looking into the faces of his black wife, his black children, his black brother-in-law, his black nieces and nephews and whatnot, then ain't nothing gonna move him. What can you add to that? There's nothing else you can add to that. Nothing whatsoever. And I would say that's perhaps why he wasn't moved to intervene as these racist Arab dogs was on a killing spree of all the black people they could find in Libya. Didn't do a darn thing for them. Nothing. Nothing. Provided political cover for them. Provided, you know, air power for them. And like I was saying, you know, his father was from Africa, a Kenyan. He even traveled to Kenya. Y'all remember the pictures, right? Because the racists were out there circulating pictures of him in his Kenyan, you know, little costume and stuff when he went to Kenya trying to, you know, reconnect with the African people. I guess it didn't work. I guess that did not work. I guess, you know, he wrote this book about his father and all this and that, but obviously he wasn't moved to help them black people. And I'm sure some of them was Kenyans. They had went to Libya looking for work and found work in Libya. You had a population of black Libyans that lived there, but a lot of those black people that came to Libya that we saw on the YouTube videos, you didn't see them on mainstream media. You might have seen them on YouTube. But those black people that was being rounded up, I remember seeing them being put in a pen. One video, they had all these black men, hands tied behind their backs, had them in a hog pen. And then was abusing them and sticking that green flag in their mouths and just taunting them and terrorizing them. All them black bodies I saw, hands tied behind their backs, executed. If I saw them, I know the president of the United States saw it. Wasn't moved to do nothing for them black people, to save them whatsoever, because he don't work for us. He don't feel for other black people. Like Malcolm X talks about. Malcolm X talks about, you know, black people coming to the place to where we will have unity based on, you know, natural empathy for one another. I guess some of us just don't have that empathy. It's been bred out of us. It's not like he was raised by black people. Not saying that, you know, because proxies can raise little proxies. But in his particular case, he was raised in Hawaii on the Big Island. I spent 3 years in Hawaii. Big Island ain't got a whole lot of black people on the Big Island. It's only on the island of Oahu, which is the tourist destination and where you got a bunch of military bases at, is where you'll find a lot of black people. But on the Big Island, or was it Kauai? He lived on one of the smaller islands, raised by his white grandparents. They didn't instill no empathy in him for black people. But even then, you would think that melanin in his skin would, you know, just bring this natural empathy out of him. No, it has not. And I'm just tired of us being politically immature to where we'll make excuses. I've been hearing it all week. Mark Morial was defending him today, this morning, when one black man was saying he's reporting facts. He actually wrote a book, and he's reporting facts about how black people have suffered during his administration, not putting it all on him, but just pointing the facts that, you know, black people didn't really prosper under the Obama administration. They did not get any relief from any of the pressure of white supremacy under Barack Obama. Then you got the usual suspects, the showcase NGO leaders and whatnot. You had Mark Morial on there arguing with this other black man, talking about, well, the Republicans did this and the Republicans stopped that and the Republicans Yeah, they are blocking some bills and whatnot, but again, they didn't block his executive order to allow homosexuals to openly serve in the United States military, did they? And then, like the man was saying, well, actually, it was the white man who said it, that Barack Obama had a Democratic Congress control both the House of Representatives and the Senate. Democrats were in control when he first got elected in 2008. They did nothing to address any of our issues. I'm again reminded by Malcolm X's words, you put them first and they put you last. And I'm not talking about I'm not saying we should be Republicans or we should be libertarians or we should be this or join that political affiliation. You know, I am one of the million, and I'm speaking of the 1 million black conscious voters and contributors, where we don't have any allegiance to any party, where we're trying to bring conscious black people together who do vote so that we can become a special interest group and advocate for the needs of black people in terms of making demands on this political system. But Malcolm X said it 40 years ago. We are political chumps. That's what he called us. Political chumps. Let me play that clip. Let me play that clip from Minister Malcolm, because it's the truth.
22 million black victims.
And we need to hear the truth. We don't need nothing that's going to patronize us and say, yes, you are our victim of white supremacy, and we feel bad and we feel sorry for you. And, you know, here's a couple of steps that you can take to try to prevent these things from happening to you. And I'm not saying we shouldn't take steps to minimize the impact of racism, white supremacy on us as individuals. But as a collective, come on, man. Every special interest group out there, whether it's the Israelis, you know, the American Jews who got the dual citizenship with in Israel, who are in Congress, who are in the Obama administration, they get something for Israel every year. They're delivering $1 billion of free U.S. taxpayer money to Israel every year, in addition to military hardware. Every year, they deliver that to Israel. And it's not like the aid that they give to African nations, because they give that money to African nations to force those African nations to become dependent on that money, and then they can force their agenda on the African nations. Okay, you don't want to do what we say? Well, we gonna cut off your aid package every year. So no, that ain't what's going on in Israel. Israel ain't got no stipulations on them. They must stop practicing racism against black Jews, or they must stop killing Palestinians. No, they ain't got no kind of stipulations on them for that. That's what the money's for them to oppress those non-white people in that area. Then you got different special interest groups among white people, whether they're liberals, let's say the gay, the lesbian, gay, bi-gender, I don't know the acronym, I don't got it memorized, but y'all know what I'm talking about. The gay community, we'll just say the gay community. They got their own special interest group, right? They lobby the president to do this or do that. And what did they get? They got some executive orders. They got some executive action. They got an amicus brief filed by the Justice Department with the Supreme Court when they were arguing whether gay marriage is legalized or not. The Justice Department sided with the gay community. That's the Obama administration. So they got something. Who else got something? We ain't getting nothing, man. People like to point to the Hispanics, but I'm telling you, Hispanics really ain't getting nothing. They ain't getting none. They ain't getting no immigration reform from President Obama. In fact, he has rounded up and deported more of these non-white people than any president preceding him. I was just reading a news report about that today. So we can't point to them and say they getting special treatment or getting their needs met. But what they do get is, you know, the debate, the ongoing debate about immigration and whatnot. But they really ain't getting nothing. Getting enslaved on them private prison and immigration detention facilities where they enslaving entire families, man. So they ain't getting nothing. But the Jews is getting something. The Israelis, and we can't put all Jews in a box because every Jew ain't a Zionist. But I'm talking about them Zionists. They getting stuff for Israel. The different white people was getting stuff for whatever their interest is. What did black people get from Obama? How many of you, and I know I'm not reaching the 40 million something black people who are estimated to be in this country. I can't reach all of you, but I wonder what's the percentage of that 40 million that sent in $5, $10, $25. President Obama was setting records, man, of fundraising records, because he was getting all these individual donations, mostly from black people. Black people turned out in historic numbers to vote for this man in 2008. Stayed at home during the 2010 elections, you know, because they didn't think it was important to elect people to their local state governments and whatnot. Then they turn out again in 2012. You heard Gaddafi in his letter saying, "I hope that you win, son of Africa. I hope that you win, because I know you're going to do the right thing." Turned out record numbers, young people, old people, everybody in between, because we want to see a black family in there. And he talked a good game. He was speaking in codified terms, but he did acknowledge racism and some other things. And he told us what he thought we wanted to hear. And all the racists was attacking him, because that's what racists do. So we rightly defended him in the early years and whatnot, because we was expecting more from this guy. He sounded like a progressive. He sounded like, you know, he knew where we were going through. We were suffering. He was a community organizer. You know, so they sold him to us. So I'll give you, he fooled us the first time, but the second time, come on now. That man ain't offered us nothing. And we've gotten nothing. And now we're 1 year left in his presidency, and we probably ain't going to get nothing now. And I'm going to keep repeating what Dr. Frances Cress Welsing said before she passed. It's time that black people demand that President Obama do something about the system of racism and white supremacy. Now, we know the man as an individual can't overthrow it by itself, but he could strike some blows. He could win some battles, like setting the slaves free from the federal plantations. He could issue an executive order to make sure if those people are working that they're paying a comparable wage as to what they would have been making if they was out on the street and not on a federal prison plantation. There's a lot of things he could issue an executive order and tell these police that if you want to keep getting these federal grants, that you're going to have to start reporting the number of people that you're killing. I was reading an article today about that. Put it on our Facebook page, Watch a Cop. Just all the people that's being killed, and we don't even know if 1,200 is an accurate count. It could be quadruple that number of people killed by police, because tens of thousands of police departments are not required to report. And the executive branch, which controls the purse strings to how they're getting funded, getting these federal grants and whatnot, to buy them military weapons and to hunt down quote-unquote illegal immigrants and to catch slaves over drug laws and whatnot. He controls those purse strings as the executive officer of the executive branch. And he could issue an executive order saying, you know what, if y'all don't comply and start reporting these numbers, no money for you. I fear it's too late. But we should have seen this coming, man. We should have seen this coming. Because it ain't like we have not had principled, real black leaders telling us about this. This is Malcolm X. You're a political chump.
Americanism are waking up, and they're gaining a new political consciousness, becoming politically mature. And as they become develop this political maturity, they're able to see the recent trends in these political elections. They see that the whites are so evenly divided that every time they vote, the race is so close they have to go back and count the votes all over again. And which means that any block, any minority that has a block of votes that stick together is in a strategic position. Either way you go, that's who gets it. You're in a position to determine who go to the White House and who stay in the doghouse. You're the one who has that power. You can keep Johnson in Washington, D.C., or you can send him back to his Texas cotton patch. You're the one who sent Kennedy to Washington. You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump. In Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives, there are 257 who are Democrats. Only 177 are Republicans. In the Senate, there are 67 Democrats. Only 33 are Republicans. The party that you pass controls two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and still they can't keep their promise to you, because you're a chump. Anytime you throw your weight behind a political party that controls two-thirds of the government and that party can't keep the promise that it made to you during election time and you are dumb enough to walk around continuing to identify yourself with that party, you're not only a chump, but you're a traitor to your race.
And I'm going to stop it there. That clip is about another 2 minutes. But, I mean, you could say that about President Obama's first year in office. Had the Democrats had the House, had the Senate, and what did we get? Some affordable health care? No, that health care ain't affordable. Have y'all been on them health care exchanges and seen how high that insurance is? So, yeah, a few people in a couple of states that participated in the Medicaid portion of it, they got coverage and whatnot. We ain't going to talk about the level of that coverage because I was just speaking to my aunt this morning who is a nurse and she's being mistreated. She got her hand crushed on the job and now they're trying to deny her workman's compensation. And then we were talking about the racism that she was facing from these white doctors. And I was telling her, we were just having a conversation on our network about that. At least, you know, one of the programs, Shifting Paradigms, where they were talking about the health care that pregnant black women get. You know, the disparities in the health care. And everything my aunt was telling me, she lives in Detroit, was I told her, that's medical apartheid that you're facing. That was racism. That was that doctor. One of them doctors came in and said, you know, put both your arms up. Now turn your hands this way. And when she did it, he talking about now you can be an NFL referee. You can get a job as an NFL referee. Just totally making light of the fact that she has a serious injury to her hand, which was crushed. So I don't even want to talk about Affordable Health Care Act or Obamacare, as they call it, because from what I've read, you know, it ain't all that. No, we got Bernie Sanders talking about Medicaid for everybody. Now, that would be that's what socialist governments like Gaddafi's government did. Libya gave everybody free health care. That's a human right, health care. You ain't got money to pay, so what? We got all this gold, we got all this silver, we got all this oil, we got the natural resources to take care of our people. Nobody should be homeless, nobody should be hungry, nobody should be lacking for health care. That ain't what we got, and I keep hearing people trying to cite that as a major accomplishment. That was a giveaway to the insurance companies. It really was. It really was. So, he ain't do nothing, man. Okay, he reduced crack cocaine sentencing guidelines from 100 to 1 to 18 to 1. Well, that's still a disparity. okay, it's just not as harsh as it used to be. Wow. That ain't the goal of practicing justice. The goal of practicing justice, nobody should be locked up for drugs, period. To no nonviolent drug addict, and I don't care if they was a drug dealer. They don't belong in prison when the U.S. government is the biggest drug dealer on the planet. Like I was talking about Afghanistan and the heroin epidemic. The heroin epidemic didn't start until NATO took over Afghanistan, and then you even find videos of American troops protecting poppy fields. So, but he did give us that, but I wouldn't, you know, that ain't, he don't get no big applause from me for that, because he still ain't practicing justice. Ron Paul, a white man, said in 2008, when President Obama was running, if you vote for me, I will pardon every last single one of these nonviolent so-called drug offenders. That's the majority are black people. Who did we vote for? President Obama didn't make no promises to you like that. And like, you know, Malcolm was saying, the Democrats promised this and promised that. Obama didn't promise us nothing. We just assumed that this man had empathy for black people, that he felt for other black people and what we going through in this country, in the belly of this beast. He ain't make no promises. He ain't say nothing. That's why they ain't do. And we didn't make no demands. The ones who were making demands, like Tavis Smiley, Cornel West, what did black people do? Black people turn on them, talking about y'all just haters. What the heck does that even mean? Haters. You just hating on him because he the president and you ain't. Look. Are these men talking about real statistics showing the condition of black people in this country? Did they make up these statistics or are they telling the truth? Okay, now if they're telling the truth and these statistical data is real and they are doing what every other group of people do and making demands on the government, on the CEO of America, then why would you call them a hater? They're doing what they're supposed to be doing because they are politically mature. They know how politics work. And it is one of the nine areas of people activity as defined by Neely Fuller. We participate in it, but we don't understand it for the most part. We don't operate in it the same as other people. We do not seek to hold our elective representatives in Congress responsible for not doing nothing. Now, it'd be different if you could point to a bill or something that's going to help black people, like ending the drug war, ending cannabis prohibition, the Reform Act, because there have been some bills introduced, but I don't hear none of these black people championing those bills. I've only seen one or two talk about the Justice Is Not For Sale Act. that would ban private prisons and jails in this country, that would make permanent, you know, a law to prevent these phone companies in the prisons from gouging the families of prisoners and the prisoners themselves, just, you know, paying $15 for a 1 minute phone call. That was in that bill. But I ain't seen none of these black people out trying to galvanize other black voters to support this legislation, no matter whether they're in their district or in another district. The way politics work, I ain't seeing none of that. It would be different if we saw some of this stuff during any time during his administration. He's using the bully pulpit, the platform of the president, to advocate for these bills and what. But we ain't seen none. We ain't seen no bills. It would be different if we saw the bills and let's just say they didn't get enough votes. We ain't even seen no bill make it to a vote. Because we ain't seen black people, politicians, or this president champion anything for us. Again, I'm speaking in general terms. I know Charlie Rangel's working on a reparation bill, but Mr. Rangel, please consider abolishing slavery, and then let's get some reparations. Don't put the cart before the horse. We ain't seeing none of that, man. We ain't seeing none of it. And what will we say? Well, you know, it is a system of racism and white supremacy. We can't expect them to do nothing. Man, come on. Come on. How many generations are we going to use that as an excuse to do nothing? We hear these white people talk about, you know, quoting their people who fought for freedom and whatnot. Give me liberty or give me death. We don't want to die, so we continue to be enslaved. We don't want to die for freedom. We don't want to do whatever's necessary to obtain freedom. We just want to survive on the plantation and condemn our children to being on that same plantation after we're gone. And then they're bringing children into it. Man, what point do we put a stop to this? At what point? I'm just tired, man. I'm tired of the excuses. I expect white racists to act like white racists, but I don't expect black people to be so, man, confused about how these proxies are helping this system of racism. I don't feel no empathy for no black cop, like that black cop that got arrested for supervising the murder of Eric Garner. Already we see black people coming to her defense. Well, what about the white ones? Well, yes, what about the white ones, but let's not have any sympathy for her. She did supervise a murder. She didn't stop anyone under her supervision from choking that man out. She didn't say not a word. She didn't say, okay, guys, that's enough. You've had your fun. Let up before you kill him. Nothing. We'll come up with all kind of excuses. All kind of excuses. That's why I don't want black people in these jobs, so that there will be no excuses. Then maybe black people can really unite. But again, I don't have any illusion that we will ever achieve 100% unity in the black community. My study of history, at no point do I ever see that as being true. Even during open enslavement, where it wasn't so hidden, even though it's in plain sight, even then, you had enslaved Africans plotting and planning against other enslaved Africans to prevent them from escaping and whatnot, because we scared, we don't want to run away with you, but if you run away, then Master going to take it out on us. Well, then let's all run away. What point do we quit being scared, man? What point do we stop being collective cowards? We got all these political prisoners in prison fighting for freedom and liberty during the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. Most of us don't even know they exist. let alone call your black representative and demand their freedom. I'm not saying this because I hate black people. I love black people. I'm a black man. I got black children. But even more, I love justice. I'm saying this because at some point, our behavior has to change. And Dr. Francis Cress Wilson did say that we are responsible for our actions. We can't keep blaming other people for our inaction. Common saying from some of our ancestors and freedom fighters that's political prisoners is dare to struggle, dare to win. There can be no win if you don't even try to obtain a win, if you don't struggle to win, if all you trying to do is just save your own life and be comfortable on the plantation, man, then that ain't worth a darn. In my opinion, that ain't worth a darn. You ain't doing nothing. You ain't doing nothing. Who wants to die a slave? Not me. I just want us to start objectively analyzing these things and not be confused by the skin color of some of these people working in the system. And don't be confused. And don't be fighting each other over what these proxies are doing. But this is just sad, man. So the emails are out. There's no denying that the Obama administration, with Hillary Clinton running point, overthrew Libya to prevent all of Africa from becoming an economic power, to keep black people subservient to the system of racism. Because Gaddafi had it figured out. He had it figured out. If we unite as Africans, we come together, have a cooperative economic system using the same currency, backed by gold. We can even back it by my gold. I got 143 tons of it, and then another 143 tons of silver. If we come together, pull our resources together, then we could throw the oppressive yoke of the Europeans and the Americans off of us. We can do it. We got the smoking gun. And there are words. The white supremacists communicating with each other. This is why we got to go in. Do you know this man is proposing an African currency backed by gold that would replace the French franc, that would replace the American dollar as the currency? That's why they took out Gaddafi, man. I mean, that's why they also took out Saddam Hussein. Because he was going to stop accepting American dollars for his oil. Forcing these countries to use the American dollar is what gives the American dollar value. Because people are forced to use it. Because it's not backed by precious metals. It ain't backed by nothing. It's a bank note. It's a Federal Reserve note. It's an IOU to Federal Reserve. Interest rates on this money that you're allowing us to use. It's not backed by anything except for the might and power of the United States military. And the United States military, and I speak to this as a former soldier, as a veteran of a war, as a person who paid attention to all the other black people that I saw in these various mostly support positions, communications, supply, a lot of technical stuff, a lot of stuff that you need behind the scenes, behind the lines to supply those who are on the front lines, getting shot at and shooting at other people and whatnot. Man, if black people decided that, you know what, we just going to all stop joining the U.S. military, and the ones that's in the military, we just going to get out. We going to retire. Man, do you know what that would do to the United States military? Man, man, that would cause a whole lot of problems. They would not be able to maintain their military grip over the rest of the planet. They couldn't do it without us, man. And that's not even to count the Hispanics that I saw in there. We all just said we don't want to practice injustice anymore. We don't want to be the tools of injustice. I need that college money, but you know what? I'll find another way to get that money. If I got to work my way through college, working two or three jobs or whatnot, I'm not going to accept any bonuses from the United States military to help them go to Africa and murder black people. You know, one of those people that got an award, military people that got an award for what they did to all them black people in Libya was a black woman, a naval. I think she was an admiral or something. I think she got a promotion out of it. I remember seeing the ceremony. And black people was like sharing her picture all over social media saying, hey, look, that's one of us, man. She's getting an award. She's a good soldier. A soldier for who, though? She ain't no soldier for you. She ain't a soldier for us. She a soldier, or I should say a sailor. She's a sailor for white supremacy. Following orders blindly. Didn't hesitate. There was no, what they call it, conscientious objectors, where you say morally, I can't follow these immoral orders, so I'm a object. And not carry them out. We ain't see none of it. We ain't see her say, you know what? I morally object to slaughtering all these black people so that the American dollar can, you know, remain the top currency in the world. I object. I can't allow myself to be used in such a fashion. No, we ain't see that. And we ain't talking about a woman who's in her early 20s and, you know, still trying to figure out how everything worked. We're talking about a highly educated, highly decorated black woman, probably in her 30s or 40s. But they sure put her on, showcased her, getting her award for what she did, her participation in the murder of not only the black people in Libya, but murdered the aspirations of Africans to become an economic powerhouse, to where they are not being exploited anymore, to where they have true independence. I'm pointing out these things because they need to be pointed out. I'm not pointing this out because I've got anti-blackness in me or anything like that. No, I'm tired of us blaming other people for everything. Yeah, white supremacy is the root cause of it all. But that don't mean we got to participate. It take two to tango, as they say, to do the dance and whatnot. They can't dance by themselves. And my study of history, the evidence suggests in every instance that black people or other non-white people help to oppress other non-white people. If I look at the colonization of Puerto Rico, if I look at the extermination of the American Indian, if I look at the enslavement of black people in this country, there's always been black people participating in it on the side of the oppressor. There is, a lot of people may not be aware, but there is a civil war that has been raging within the black community for a very, very long time. Steve Coakley, if you look up Steve Coakley videos, he will talk to you about that. He gives a lot of teaching. The black boule, the bourgeoisie. These are the ones that look down their noses at our brothers and sisters in less unfortunate, you know, conditions in these ghettos, in these places where they catch slaves on a daily basis. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Because they might choose a non-traditional, non-English name and name their children, you know, some name they made up because they want to express you know, some autonomy from the system. That they don't want to conform to racism and white supremacy. So I'm not going to name my child Joanne or Jill or Cindy or whatever those names are, you know, that's typically associated with the English language, English names and whatnot. I don't know a lot of African, but, you know, I'm going to name my child Ayana or Aisha or Isis or, you know, something that shows that, you know, we are a unique people. We are apart from these other people who've been oppressing us. And we look down on them for that. You know, they don't speak good English, good diction. Look at him. He sound all country. I don't even like to hear him talk. Or they're using Ebonics. You know, why don't you learn proper English? See, we want to attack them, but we don't want to attack the system. We want to partner with the system so that we can move on up and get that deluxe apartment in the sky. And if that means that we got to step on other black people to get there, then we'll do it. Yeah, there's a civil war going on in the black community. Again, if you participate in the people activity area of politics, I would implore you, I beg you to become one of the million conscious black voters and contributors. Go to IamOneOfTheMillion.com. That again is IamOneOfTheMillion.com and become part of that political social movement that a couple of our elders are trying to build so that we can become a voting bloc with some power in this country. It don't take all black. We don't need all 40 million, like Mr. James Clingman said in his interview with me earlier. Was that this week or last week? We just want 2%, 2% of the 40 million. 2%. Because, see, when you look at the American-Israeli political lobby, it ain't all Jews participating in that, because, you know, all Jews ain't Zionists. All Jews ain't down with the crimes of Israel. And they don't support that kind of stuff. But that small minority of those that do, them Zionists, man, they control a huge amount of power in Congress, because they play in the game. They know how to play. They don't just give money to these politicians and expect nothing in return. Every president, including President Obama, went down to APEC convention and kissed the rings, and I'm being diplomatic, and kissed their rings and said everything we're going to do for Israel. And we're not even talking about a whole lot of people. We ain't even talking about the majority of people who classify themselves religiously as Jews. And not all of them is down with the crimes of Israel. But that's an example of how a committed small minority of people who pool their resources can wield economic power to the point that they getting free money by the billions handed over to non-U.S. taxpayers. I mean, that takes some doing. That takes some doing. But we didn't have any black organization in place back in 2011 that said, that's wrong, President Obama. Don't do that. Don't help them Arabs, them Islamic jihadis, them terrorists, Al-Qaeda, which we know is also ISIS. Same thing. They the same people. Don't believe that crap y'all hear. Same group of proxies that they're using. No, President Obama, don't do that. Leave Africa be. Allow those people to determine their future without interference from you and the people you working for. Leave them alone. Hands off Africa. We ain't heard none of that. We ain't heard none of that. It's time, you know, if we're going to participate in a people activity, we have to be serious about it. And we need to toss aside all of these people that are in these organizations that have been around for decades who have not done anything to alleviate any pressure that black people are under in white supremacy in this system. None. They making excuses. That's all they do is defend President Obama. Well, he can't do this because the Republicans. Well, why he ain't do it when he had Democrats in there? Or he can't do this because, you know, he's not a, this is not a dictatorship. We have three branches of government. Well, then how did he issue them executive orders dealing with gays in the military? We won't make excuses. It's time out for the excuses, man. Or else we deserve everything we get. We deserve it. Because we ain't willing to do what it takes to put a stop to it. Now, I ain't going to go as far as to say we deserve it. I ain't going to go that far. We don't deserve to be mistreated, regardless of how ignorant many of us are. We don't deserve that mistreatment. We don't. We really don't. But it is time for, you know, a new movement, an intellectual movement, I guess. A conscious movement, which again, 1 million, I am one of the million.com is trying to start that conscious movement. Because I see a lot of black people that say they conscious and they ain't really conscious, man. They ain't conscious because they take sides based on black or white and skin color. They'll even turn on people like me because I'm light skinned. Oh, he's not a true African. You know, he got some white people in his ancestry or he got some Indians in his ancestry, so he light skinned, and so we can't call him black. He ain't part of our family. You know what I'm saying? We even got black people doing that, man. I'm serious, man. It's calling themselves conscious. I seen them attack Zaja Ali the other day on some platform. They were talking about her light skin and she got hair down to her behind, and she ain't black. She got some other in her. Look at that light skin. Man, damn. And they call themselves conscious. You ain't conscious. You just on the other extreme of the white races. You the opposite end of the spectrum. And we caught in the middle. But, you know, so everybody say they conscious ain't conscious. But it is time for a true conscious movement that is only going to come through study. It's going to come through proper education, not the one we getting from public school systems or these so-called institutions of higher learning. It's going to take a grassroots effort, starting with in your own household. That's where it starts, in your own household. So if I sounded like I was being harsh or whatnot, well, sometimes the truth is harsh, but I know y'all can handle it. I know y'all can handle it because I can handle it. Look, I ain't perfect. I make plenty of mistakes. I don't speak good English. I've heard my voice is annoying. I've heard all sort of things, you know. But as long as they're correct and I can identify, hey, you know what? I could be doing this a little bit better than what I'm doing. I accept that correction. That's the only way you're going to grow as a person, man. The only way that we're going to grow as a people is to accept correction. We need to hear what we don't want to hear. It's time to set pride aside, man, and just break it down to the raw truth. And the truth is that we got a long ways to go, man, in terms of creating a undeniable force of black power in this country if we are to make any kind of gains on the battlefield against the system of racism and white supremacy. We have to become more refined in our efforts, in our counter-racism. And it's not going to get done by just saying ignore what these proxy races are doing when these proxy races are doing so much damage. Yeah, we know who's the ultimate power. power behind them. But hey, when I'm on the battlefield and somebody's shooting at me, well, I better defend myself against them no matter what their damn doggone skin color is. If somebody's trying to make a slave out of me, I need to get away from them. I need to, you know, try to hamper his ability to practice slavery. I don't care what his color is. It's time out, man. Let your allegiance be for black people who deserve your allegiance, who feel for other black people, who have a record of caring about black people, who are not trying to be Americans and live the American dream, which is a nightmare for everybody that's non-white on the planet. That's what it takes for you to live the American dream. Because without the American dollar, you know, being the top currency in the world, then you can't live the American dream. So if you want to live the American dream, then you got to support the murder and genocide of people all over this planet, even when they look like you. Is that the dream that you want to live? I got a conscience, man. I ain't trying to live on the backs of nobody else. I ain't trying to step on nobody. I ain't trying to be comfortable in a system based on the oppression of other people. I'm not trying to do that, man. Not trying to do it. And I hope you are not trying to do that either. But if you are, you can always do a 180 and turn around and stop doing what you're doing to aid the system of racism and white supremacy. Will you suffer as a result? Maybe, you know, maybe you might lose a job. Maybe things might be more difficult, but ain't nothing worth attaining easy. But you're not alone out there, man. We need to start coming together, man, and rebuilding the black infrastructure and getting back to being who we are meant to be. And that's a great people. Anyway, I apologize. I don't know what the mix-up was with Mr. West. But you can follow his YouTube channel, Afro Synergy. He is the first one that I saw, not the only one, but the first one that I saw that was providing accurate information about what was going on in Libya. He wasn't trying to sugarcoat it. He wasn't trying to, you know, do anything other than let you know what was really going on and why it was going on. And now he and others like Glenn Ford have been proven to have been correct in their analysis that this was all done to prevent Africa from uniting under a gold-backed currency to keep Africans subservient in the system of racism and white supremacy, because who knows? Maybe that was the key to ending the system of racism. The global system of racism was Africans becoming the world power in terms of economics. So, I'll be back on air tomorrow. I think we do have a guest scheduled tomorrow. About black media, independent black media producer. I've been made aware of that they're launching. I'm not sure if this is a cable channel. I do know they have a YouTube channel, but they may be getting access to mainstream media to tell the stories of black people being told by black people. But I will find out those details and see what's that going to look like. But regardless of whether we have a guest or not, I will be back on air tomorrow at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. By the way, Tando Radio Show, as you might know, I'm over my time, my 2 hours. But Brother Dave, y'all keep his family in your thoughts and in your prayers. He had a family emergency. I don't know the nature of the emergency, but he let me know that he had a family emergency to take care of. And also, last night, the Lotus Place, so Tando Radio Show will not be on air. Also, Lotus Place was not on air last night, which normally comes on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10 o'clock p.m. because Sister Black Rose got stuck in a snowstorm up there in Detroit, where she's visiting. And so she was unable to do her program. So I hope that she's safe up there in that snowstorm that she said was happening up there in Detroit. So check this out. The whole planet is a battlefield, but you live behind enemy lines if you live in this place called the United States of America. This is the belly of the beast, y'all. They are still practicing slavery. It is legal. The 13th Amendment says they can put you into slavery or involuntary servitude. I don't know the difference between the two. Slavery is slavery, okay? But they can do that to you if they convict you of a crime. And that's why you have to do it. I don't care if the laws are unjust or whatever. I'm not saying, you know, hold yourself to these laws because they don't care about the law. These are lawbreakers. These are some of the global gangsters that are committing some of the most heinous crimes ever known to man. So they going to put you in prison for a bag of weed or a little small packet of coke? Come on, man. That ain't justice. But you don't want to be on a prison plantation. So don't be smoking weed when you're riding down the street in your car, blasting your loud music. Don't bring attention to yourself. Don't give that cop probable cause to search your car and then plant some more drugs on you and whatnot. You know, those are things that you can do, common sense things that we can do to prevent so many of our people being enslaved. Okay? Now, and I'm not saying that any of it's our fault, because the laws are ultimately unjust and they promote a system of injustice. It promotes slavery. That's why they were put into place. But don't make it easy for them. If you need to smoke weed because you got a bad back and you don't want to be hooked on pharmaceuticals and the narcotics that they're pushing, so you grow yourself a little weed and you smoke it to manage your pain or whatnot, you know, do what you got to do. But don't be smoking it while you're riding down the street, man. Definitely don't be smoking in your car doing 80 down the highway and the speed limit 65. You asking for it. You asking for these slave catchers to focus in on you and get you. So that's called codification, man. That's called, you know, being battlefield aware, knowing the conditions of the battlefield. And if you do this and do that, you're likely to become a casualty. So don't do those things. Don't do those things. But you better believe if they still get you and enslave you over some nonviolent so-called drug crimes, I'm still going to be beating the drum for your release. But we don't need you on the inside. We need you on the outside fighting to end slavery. All right, so y'all be careful out there. Recognize the fact that we live behind enemy lines and do everything you can to prevent yourself from being a casualty. That said, until tomorrow, peace and blessings to all.
No, it really isn't. Because, see, people are thinking in terms of, well, they want to brag about being black, which means that they are implying that it's something incorrect about being white, even though these are the creations of the Creator. See, and then so everybody gets into this black pride thing or white pride thing, and people immediately start taking sides. It's not about taking sides based on black and white. It's about taking sides based on justice and non-justice. Well, that's what you're really aiming for. Being black doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice. And being white doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice, except you mean in, you believe in non-justice. And that doesn't make any difference what shade you are or how tall you are or who your cousin was or anything like that, or what so-called nationality you have. Like a lot of people say that they take pride in being an Englishman, or take pride in being a Frenchman, or take pride in being Afrocentric. Well, you're not supposed to be proud of any of those things if you don't believe in justice, because these words mean nothing. No nationality means anything. And waving a flag if you don't believe in not mistreating people. You've got to believe in not mistreating people, and you got to believe in helping people that need help the most. Otherwise, you don't even have any business breathing.